Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Want to tell the story of your small business? Send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Today's stories: new efforts to help small businesses with retirement savings programs, and seven tips for marketing yourself as a consultant. Those stories after this. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Proposed legislation to enhance retirement savings seems to have legs, especially after the House recently passed the bill by a whopping 417-3 vote. House Resolution 1994, the Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement, or the SECURE Act, and a similar bill in the Senate would expand access to retirement savings programs for part-time workers and people employed by small businesses. More from Russ Wiles, personal finance columnist at the Arizona Republic. Russ, set this up.
Hi, Gordon. Well, first of all, it's unusual that Republicans and Democrats seem to be agreeing on anything these days, but there was a piece of legislation which passed the House May 23rd with strong bipartisan support. You know, it passed by about a 417-3 vote, which is overwhelming. And it seems to have good traction, good legs in the Senate, too. We'll see. But this is the SECURE, what they call the SECURE Act. It's an acronym. And basically, it would expand, the gist of it is that it would expand workplace retirement savings programs, you know, mainly 401k plans, to a lot more people who don't have them currently.
So this would mean what, perhaps, for, I guess, start with employees and then businesses also?
Yeah, well, I think the upshot here is that, as you know, about half the population, half the working population, doesn't have a 401k or similar workplace retirement access, and this would expand the numbers primarily by allowing small businesses to band together, regardless of industry, to create collective 401k plans and thereby benefit from economies of scale and reduced administrative hassles. I don't know all the details, but there have this banding together has been allowed for certain, for businesses in certain very close-knit industry groups. It hasn't been allowed previously, and I don't remember why, for, you know, companies that are, you know, in very disparate, you know, by their nature. But anyway, that's the idea here, and it, as you know, small businesses employ a lot of people in this country, and they are less likely, for cost and administrative record-keeping reasons, to be allowing these sort of plans. So that's the gist of it.
All right. So reasons to oppose this would be what?
Well, I mean, there would be, and I don't know what the fiscal impact is. There probably would be a modest fiscal impact for the federal government, for example, to encourage some small employers to offer these plans. Some of these small employers could receive a $500 annual tax credit for, I think, up to 3 years. But, you know, I think both, you know, people in both political parties, lawmakers, realize that a lot of people just have very little or nothing saved up, and I think they want to do do something about it. And another group that I think would be stands to benefit from this rule change are permanent part-time workers. Typically, you have to be employed full-time to be eligible for benefits such as a workplace 401k plan. Apparently, if you're a long-term part-time worker, eligibility would be opened up for you. I don't know how many hours yet. you know, is considered part-time or long-term, but that's the game plan.
We're speaking with Russ Wiles, personal finance columnist at the Arizona Republic, part of the USA Today network, talking about his piece entitled More Part-Time and Small Businesses Being Eligible to Expand Retirement Savings Accounts. Really, I mean, you've written about this before, but I mean, automated savings is the best way if you plan on being a saver and relying on that in retirement.
Yes, and I alluded to that $500 tax credit that could be available to small businesses to encourage them to offer these plans. And I from what I understand, they would kind of link that to companies, to employers that are offering automatic enrollment, where they automatically sign up their employees unless they opt out for the 401k plan, and those using low-cost accounts, automatic contributions. I mean, the whole automatic, enrollment, automatic contribution movement, which seems to be quite promising, is based on the notion that, you know, people are, you know, procrastinators, and they have inertia, and if they're signed up for a program, they'll stay with it. Just like if they don't sign up for a program, they won't sign up for it ever, you know. So it takes advantage of the natural, you know, human tendency to kind of stay put once you're in something.
What I thought was interesting, too, is that the age potentially for required minimum distributions could go up.
Yeah, now we're not talking about 401k so much anymore, but IRAs primarily, including rollover IRAs. But a couple interesting provisions there. One is that, if you have a traditional IRA, you have to start pulling out money, start withdrawing, making taxable withdrawals after age 70 and a half. And this bill would extend that modestly to age 72, another year and a half, basically reflecting longevity, I think. Another provision is that if you're a senior and you continue to work beyond age 70 and a half, you would be allowed to continue contributing money to an IRA or 401k account. So that's new, too. Again, I think just reflecting longevity, and that a lot of people probably will be working into their 70s, and if so, why not let them, you know, make a contribution to a retirement plan?
Is it too much of a stretch to say that a couple of these rules or provisions would be game changers?
It depends on how it, you know, I don't think the IRA rules are game changers, to be quite honest. I do think the 401k plan provisions are quite promising because, you know, as we mentioned, half the working population does not participate, and many of those people don't even have access to a 401k plan, and people have, you know, major league regrets in terms of not having saved enough for retirement. So I think that one, if it's effective, could be quite important. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see how many employers, you know, adopt these provisions, even if the legislation becomes law anytime soon.
How about just a tool, too, for small businesses to say,
yeah,
hey, we offer this. Come work for us. You don't have to go work for the big guy. We offer this, too.
Well, increasingly, you know, in a tight labor market, companies have to not only offer competitive wages, but they have to offer reasonable, you know, benefits.
Yeah.
And, you know, after health insurance, 401k, you know, retirement plans are way up there on the list. So I would think that this would enhance the ability of small employers to attract and to retain workers.
Thanks, Russ. Russ Wiles, personal finance columnist at the Arizona Republic. More after this.
This human resources professional is a rock star, thanks to Kronos. And this is her hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm the dream, and you should know that.
Now we're engaging all the best people.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
When you're just starting out as a new consultant, one of your top priorities should be marketing. You want to make a name for yourself, right? Enhance your image and build your reputation, but you don't have that much money. What can you do to find clients and persuade them to choose you when income is tight? Tips from Elaine Beach, author of a new book called The New Business of Consulting, The Basics and Beyond. Number one, she says, attend professional conferences to network. Take a bundle of business cards and give everyone two cards, one to keep and one to give away. Number two, she says, join your professional organizations. Number three, plan to meet three new people in every networking situation. Number four, contact your college roommate and ask for an introduction to an organization. Number five, submit press releases to the media regarding your major consulting engagements, awards, published articles or books, or appointments. Number six, agree to be interviewed on a podcast and then share it with potential clients. And number seven, write articles for your professional journal. Contact the editor to obtain a calendar of topics for the year. The tips are from Elaine Beach in her new book, The New Business of Consulting, The Basics and Beyond. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report is found on our website this morning with GordonDeal.com. That's also where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Again, if you'd like to share your small business story, I'd like to hear it. Free publicity for you, right? Inspiration and tips for others. You could send me an email at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.